When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome. This is Wacky Wednesday here on the Arrowhead Addict channel. I'm Adam Best, along with Sterling Holmes and producer Richard Sterling. How we doing, man?
I'm good, dude. Just crushed a sweet potato. So besides the fact that my mouth only got slightly burnt, which I think is a new step for me, only getting slightly burnt, things are good, man.
Improvement, like we need to see from these rookies from now until the season, right?
Nails.
Baby steps.
Maybe. What a transition. What a transition that was.
We're trying here on the AA podcast. We've got an awesome show for you guys tonight. Going to answer some burning questions that are kind of the fallout of the draft. I think we got some answers, but we probably got just as many questions out of the draft. So we're going to dive into all of that, and I'm excited to do it.
And before we do, DraftKings is offering a fantastic sign-up bonus for new users. New customers can place a $5 first bet on any sport to instantly claim $200 in bonus bets when you sign up with our code Arrowhead. You will also receive one no-sweat single-game parlay every single day. The best part is that you will get both rewards even if that first bet loses. Using our code Arrowhead not only gets you these great bonuses, but it also directly supports our podcast. So, if you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, make sure to use the code Arrowhead to maximize your first bets. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly and check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify.
Let's go ahead and jump into our 10 post-draft burning questions. We'll do this with some help from our old friend, the Countdown-O-Tron 8008, also known as Boob. 4 minutes per answer. We're going to try to rapid fire these, and hopefully we'll come out of this hour or so with a little bit more clarity than we had going in. Let's dive in. Did you see what James Palmer said today?
No, I have not.
So this is the first question. He said he expects Rashee Rice to be suspended for half the season or more. He kind of let that slip out on a podcast with Steve Smith. So the question here is, how quickly can Xavier Worthy step up to help the wide receiver room?
I think pretty soon, man. Like, I'm not going to lie. I was very upset when they originally drafted Xavier Worthy. No real reason besides the fact I just wanted to crush some gin, and I thought that'd be a good excuse to all of a sudden be able to have a handle of gin just start.
I think you had a reason. I think you had a reason. We'll get to the reason.
Yeah, I think he's stepping right away. He did as a freshman at Texas. Like, the more I've really looked into Xavier Worthy, the more I've talked myself in, and now you can make the case I'd probably do that with any pick the Chiefs would have drafted. But just because you're small doesn't mean you're automatically going to get injured, and I feel like that's something that has been thrown around a lot. He played in 12 games, 13 games, and 14 games at Texas. He had, 40 punt returns. He's a great route runner. Like, I honestly think that if he ran a 4.3 instead of a 4.21, people would maybe view him differently. They only view him as a fast guy because they look at the other fast guys who were drafted and say, well, those guys didn't pan out. So all of a sudden, this means that he for sure can't, which is like, yeah, you don't draft Big 12 quarterbacks. Well, then you miss out on Mahomes. You don't draft Ohio State quarterbacks. Then you miss out on CJ Stroud. There's always going to be an outlier. And we're hoping that Xavier Worthy is the outlier. I think he can step up right away. Now, what is he going to be right away? We don't know, because it's going to be a lot on Andy Reid of how much he uses him. But can he and will he, I think, are two different things. So can he? I will say yes.
I like that you brought up how early he broke out at Texas. 97th percentile breakout. He was 19, barely out of high school when he broke out. So I think that is a sort of a good omen for his time here in Kansas City, that he can hit the ground in a new program running. The issue there is the weight, is the play strength. Are they going to press him into oblivion? But I think the Chiefs saw some of what Miami did last year, getting these guys in pre-snap motion where they don't have to slow down and they're very hard to press. That's what the Chiefs are going to have to do with Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy because of their size. And I'm like you, I was probably lower on Xavier Worthy before he came a Chief. And that's not just me being a homer. There's some institutional buy-in for me with the Chiefs. We're not privy to the behind the scenes stuff from coaches. We don't conduct interviews with these prospects. So there's a lot we don't know. And the Chiefs have gotten enough right that if Andy Reid and Brett Veach, Patrick Mahomes, the rest of the brain trust feel like this is the guy, I think we have to kind of believe in that for the time being, especially on the heels of Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice was finally the wide receiver pick they got right last year. They used him correctly, even though I think most football experts were saying he was an outside receiver. They identified correctly that he was a power slot. So I think that bodes well for the utilization of Xavier Worthy.
Well, and after I dove a little deeper, and this is not just Xavier Worthy specific, but the Chiefs offense specific last year, Mahomes' passer rating on deep balls, which is 20 plus air yards from the line of scrimmage. So if he's 5 yards behind the scrimmage, that still counts as 20 air yards if he throws a 25 yards, right? That's just how this metric is broken down. His passer rating last year, it was around 33. His career low prior to last year was 107. So there was a massive need to try and go out and get some deep threats who can actually catch the ball. Over one fifth, 22% of the time the ball was dropped on the deep ball last year. 22% on this metric. That does not include running the wrong routes, just drops. While Xavier Worthy does have the occasional drop, it's more mental, not a case of physical, which is a good sign. Kansas
City. And speaking of Worthy, I would like to see this played on the Jumbotron every time he scores a TV.
We're not worthy! We're not worthy! We're not worthy!
Man, we suck!
We're scum! Anytime we can slide in a Wayne's World reference, we're obligated to do so.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seen more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health. Their food. What she discovered that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true even for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that by just adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do the same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. If you want to see a dog, your dog, with more energy, healthier skin and coat, looking and acting younger, then this is for you. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/arrowhead and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/arrowhead.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Number two, did the Chiefs really need to trade up to get Worthy in a draft where a ton of good receivers were still on the board? This is the other side of that.
This one is fascinating because at the time I said no. And at the time, that was why, again, I had my my pouting, if you will. And I put myself in timeout. I've looked back and I know a lot of folks were saying, well, Sterling, how could you be so upset? Well, at the time, we didn't know what was given up. I saw a trade with the Bills. I thought it was a massive amount of draft capital. I look back now and I go, they didn't even lose a draft pick. They moved back, but they didn't lose a draft pick. That really calmed all my nerves. And at that point on, I was fine. I understood the process because what this makes me believe is, and they were trying to trade higher, by the way, they were trying to trade up higher than 28 with the Bills, but no team would trade with them. So this is fascinating because they actually got they saved some draft capital. They may have saved Jaden Hicks or Wiley because they were not able to trade up higher, which is good news for the Chiefs. But this was clear cut. Their wide receiver five, right? Some draft was a pocket like the Sky Moore, George Pickens, all that draft. There was a pocket of guys that they didn't really care who they got. There was a pocket of guys that whoever they left with, they'd be fine with. This one, they identified who they liked, who was, in their mind, clear-cut wide receiver five, and they got him. They weren't going to wait around and do what the Bills did because the Bills, they didn't care. In their mind, the Bills' mind, there was a pocket. They could have gone with any number of guys, and so they were content to trade back. We'll see how this plays out long-term, but mm-hmm. I can't doubt and find fault with the process the Chiefs did on this particular trip to get Xavier Worthy, and for that reason, I'm, again, getting more excited about this pick.
I'm just going to play devil's advocate here. I had the same experience as you, thinking in real time we probably got fleeced by the Buffalo Bills for trading up for a receiver in a deep receiver pool. I'm just worried we have a little bit of Al Davis syndrome here. We want the fastest guy, you know. And when you look at who went later, Alabama's Jermaine Burton, third round, 80th pick,
Oregon's with a lot of concerns.
With a lot of concerns. But then Oregon's Troy Franklin, who doesn't have the character concerns, maybe has some other concerns about his body type. But Xavier Worthy also has those. He goes in the fourth round. So I think there's a point of view where you could say, did they really, if they're looking to stretch the field and reintegrate that back into the passing game, like the deep ball and all that, and open up things underneath for Rashee Rice when he comes back, for Travis Kelce, and get the running game going for Isaiah Pacheco, did they need to do that in the first round in such a deep draft?
Well, we'll see, obviously. But and this can be used against Kingsley Sumatia, which we'll get to in a moment here. But I liken it this way. When Bo Nix went 12, it's because only one team needs to say, we want you. When a guy goes way earlier than expected, all it means is because one team loves you. When a guy who looked like a borderline first rounder to early second round all of a sudden now goes in the fourth, that means every team has the same idea about you. That means every team thinks that you were put too high by the media. And that's something to keep in mind.
We don't know that for sure, though, because if the Chiefs don't get Xavier Worthy and they're looking for this exact archetype of receiver, they might have picked Troy Franklin in the third round.
31 other teams in the third round. My point, that's still a fall for Troy.
It was a huge fall. And I think one of the troubling things here when we try to evaluate this is there's no fair way to evaluate Xavier Worthy playing with Patrick Mahomes and Troy Franklin being in Denver with Bo Nix. Sure, there's the familiarity, but there's regardless of what Sean Payton thinks, there's a huge chasm between these two quarterbacks. So it's going to be a little bit hard to compare. Just wanted to play devil's advocate there because I think this was a deep wide receiver draft.
Love the Chiefs process.
Who wins the left tackle training camp battle between second-year project Wanya Morris and raw rookie Kingsley Suamataia? Did I get that right? Oh, God. Thank God.
You nailed it. I'm proud of you.
Or a vet not currently on the roster, maybe Donovan Smith or someone else.
So it's not going to be Donovan Smith. Brett Veach came out and basically all but alluded to they're not bringing back Donovan. He was asked that basic question and he was goes, no, we like what we have right here.
So
Yes. So barring something drastic, barring both Kingsley and Wanye just looking atrocious in OTAs in training camp, Donovan Smith is not going to be on this team. So that means you're looking at the left tackle who is currently on this roster. I absolutely loved the Kingsley Suamataia pick. I thought the value was there. Now, again, him and to an extent, Jaden Hicks, I can use the exact same thing. Why did those two guys fall? Does that say more about them or more about how teams in the NFL don't know how to identify talent? Because I thought Kingsley Suamataia, when all those guys, all those teams above them were going tackle, 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 I'm sitting here going, did they forget that Kingsley has not been drafted yet? Like, did these teams forget that Kingsley Suamataia is still on the board? Because this is a great fit for Kansas City as well. The athletic profile of Kingsley fits very well with what the Chiefs typically go after and what some of the attributes they like. I will say I'm higher on Wanye than most. I think Wanye has the inside edge to be in the starter week one. I'm going to go with Morris as the week one starting left tackle. But I do think it's about a 50-50 chance. I'm excited because I think whoever earns the starting nod week one earned it. It wasn't a case of, well, you know, we brought in a seventh round guy as a to try and see what Wanye can do. No. If Wanye gets it, that means he beat out a legitimately, in my opinion, who's going to be a really good player, Kingsley Suamataia. I love this where the Chiefs are currently at in regards to the left tackle situation.
Yeah, my hope is that Kingsley Suamataia wins this job because I just think his ceiling is much higher than Wanye Morris's. I think maybe the best case scenario here is that long term, Kingsley plays at left tackle and Wanye plays at right tackle. That would be a really good outcome for the Chiefs and a really affordable outcome for the Chiefs. One thing that might have happened here is a similar game of musical chairs, like what happened with the wide receiver position. Once a certain number of teams gets their, you know, drafts a tackle, there just aren't spots left. And in addition to not being spots left, other franchises, other brain trusts don't have the job security that the Chiefs have. So they're looking at Kingsley and saying, man, what if we have to redshirt this kid? We could lose our jobs picking him in the first or second round. Because some people had him projected to go to the Chiefs at 32. I would have been fine with that, really. So I think there's some of that. Also, when you have Patrick Mahomes, who is the best sack evader in the National Football League, that really helps your young tackles survive and when you throw them in the deep end a little bit. So I expect Kingsley to win this job long term. I don't know if he will do that week one. Hell, I don't even know if he'll do that by the bye week. But I think it's in the best interest of the franchise for him to win the job. I don't think they would have picked him if they were super confident in Wanye Morris and Juwan Taylor definitely being the answers, despite liking both of those players.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think ideal scenario is Wanye Morris right tackle, Kingsley left tackle. I just don't know if it happens this year, especially week one. Again, I'm fairly happy with both picks. You know, my excitement level last year with Wanye Morris when he was drafted. And if you know me, my excitement level this year with Kingsley Suamataia when he was drafted. And oh, by the way, again, some other inside news from Brett Veach. He talked about yet again how they tried to trade but even higher, looking around 45 to 50 to draft Suamataia. Could not get that high. Again, the Chiefs, to an extent, got lucky, saving a lot of draft capital there.
Kansas City.
Yeah, not a lot of dance partners, right? A lot of teams apparently don't want to trade with the Chiefs. It's pretty surprising that the 49ers and the Bills did, but I think that exudes some confidence from those franchises. Number four, did the Chiefs make a mistake by not drafting a pass-catching running back with some juice? I want to point out a couple guys here that were on the board around the time when the Chiefs had some picks. There, first off, was Clemson's Will Shipley at fourth round, 127. He went to the Eagles. Next, you have Purdue's Tyrone Tracy Jr. He went fifth round, 166 to the New York Giants. Next up is New Hampshire's Dylan Lobby. He went to the Raiders, actually. I love this pick. Sixth round, 188. And then you had Memphis's Blake Watson, who didn't go drafted at all, surprisingly. He ended up signing with the Broncos, I think a guy like this would have really fit in well with the Chiefs to, you know, some lightning to complement Pacheco's thunder. And the guy they did sign, that's a pure running back, Imani Bailey out of TCU, he has a relative athletic score of 1.56. I mean,
yeah, but we got to get some more questions about that because he was not known as an unathletic guy in college. Something was off with his testing. I don't know if it was raining that, like, I have no idea. But something wonky is going on because I thought Imani Bailey was going to test much, much better than that. That's a little
because,
bit
of what? Because of highlights against future mailmen? Or I mean, I'm serious.
The Big 12 guy. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, this minor school. I mean, TCU is a very talented production school.
Yeah, they've sure. But
no, I'm not going to take one day and all of a sudden say that's now because he's now unathletic. Like, that's just absurd to me. That happens all the time. We talk about how testing can vary day to day. Again, I'm not saying that that's the guy I'm hanging my hat on. I like Blake Watson the best out of Memphis. You're right. I thought UDFA, I thought even in the seventh round, but we're nitpicking here, right? Like, I thought for the most part, this draft by Brett Veach was phenomenal. When I have a lot of friends, media from other teams are texting me saying, how did the Chiefs do this yet again? Mm-hmm. The Chiefs nailed another draft. Again, their seventh round pick is the only guy, CJ Hansen, who's an upside guard, which maybe leads you to believe something with Joe Tooney, with Creed being able to pay him, obviously Trey Smith being able to pay him. If you're looking at it that way, with two offensive linemen drafted later on with Norzad in the fifth, the seventh round is the only spot I really thought the Chiefs could have taken a chance on running back with, again, a Blake Watson, who was UDFA, a Cody Schrader, who again has had a ton of production, but is not your fast guy. I did not want a fourth round. And by the way, 127 is higher than the Chiefs even drafted in the fourth round. So you have to trade up for Will Shipley. No, right. I'm out on that. I'm fine with what the Chiefs did game plan wise. Again, this was one of the best process drafts top to bottom I thought the Kansas City Chiefs actually had. Mistake, I think, is a strong word. Would I have liked a seventh round running back of, again, Blake Watson, so that way you could get him as not being a UDFA and him going somewhere else? Yes, I would have liked that. But is this some like deal breaker and makes me upset and call this draft a mistake? No, I'm not getting there.
Well, it's not that for me either. And I think we can nitpick the Chiefs a little bit because they're that good. When you're the best team in the league, we got to hold them to a high bar. And I think a lot of times they clear that bar. They probably cleared that bar in this draft, but they picked a tight end. Is that guy going to see the field this year? Did they need to pick two interior offensive linemen?
I think one at a minimum. I think Norzad you had to.
Yeah, I think you had to get one. The other issue here is, yes, Patrick Mahomes doesn't really throw to his running backs a lot. However, one of these guys really could have fit in as a return man, but we haven't mentioned LRZ yet. I think they have some hopes for him as a return man. I think they have some hopes for Kadarius Toney. As much as a lot of Chiefs fans don't like to hear that, I think they're going to try him as exclusively a kick returner, punt returner guy. You could see that, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Overall, I would have liked a running back. Didn't need one.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
Just to follow up here real quickly, they only had a limited amount of picks. Last year and in previous years, they had enough picks to get all their shopping done. This year, with the amount of picks they had, they just weren't going to get every item on their grocery list, right? It was kind of impossible to do. They also didn't get defensive tackle, which is number five. Are the Chiefs deep enough at defensive tackle to survive the season? Let's run through the current guys on the roster. Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, Tershawn Wharton, Neil Farrell, Matt Dickerson, Isaiah Bugs, and FSU rookie Fabian Lovett, who they also claimed as an undrafted free agent. What do you think, Sterling?
Man, not a great list. Again, it was kind of why earlier on before the D-dub situation with Tavondre Sweat, I was really high on Tavondre Sweat. You know that. I thought that was going to be a nice pairing.
He went super high, though.
He went higher than I think anyone expected, even if he didn't get a D-dub. Like the Titans, they just said, all right, we need this guy. So I'm not thrilled with this group at defensive tackle. Pretty much the same group they had last year. I think you forgot Mike Pinnell, if you want to count Mike Pinnell into this this grouping as well. I have a little higher hopes for Isaiah Bugs than most. I'm not saying Bugs is going to be a stud, but I think if you look at this group of guys, he's probably the dude with the highest upside. Obviously, a guy that came from the Detroit Lions. Again, when I say high upside, I'm not saying he has high upside. I'm saying higher than probably the aging Mike Pinnell, Derek Nnadi, Neil Farrell. It's not great, but they got it done last year with the exact same group. It was the weak point last year, the defense, but they still found a way to get it done. They'll move Charles Omenihu, Mike Dana inside at times. They'll move Karlaftis inside at times. I would have liked some investment here, but there wasn't really a great draft option here, and there wasn't a lot of great veterans on the market. You're not paying Christian Wilkins that money. You paid Chris Jones that money. So the fact they kept Chris Jones made me excited, but the rest is we'll see.
Yeah, this position was kind of a crazy story on day two of the draft because it was surprising to me that Johnny Newton didn't go in round one. I think he's a round one talent. I know the Jones fracture and the surgery might have pushed him back a little bit, but then you had this insane run on tackles where the Falcons, for some reason, gave up a ton of capital to trade up and draft Rook Arororo. I think that's really how you pronounce his name. I know I sound like Scooby-Doo there, but... and then Sweat went, a bunch of other guys went. And I think the Chiefs were sitting there at 64 saying, we either take Kingsley, who fell to us and has no business being on the board still, or we reach on a defensive tackle because of this run that happened. They just weren't going to do that. Also, maybe this is kind of a good indication that Charles Omenihu is ahead of schedule. Because if they really needed extra guys on that defensive line, and they didn't expect him to be back in any way, shape, or form this season, they probably would have done something on the defensive line, but they didn't. So just reading in between the lines, I hope that's a good sign for Omenihu. The stuff he posts and what we're seeing, it seems like he's optimistic about his recovery. And I think with him, if we can just get him back by the playoffs to being, hell, 80, 90% of the player he was in that Baltimore game, when he would just look like a monster out there, would be a real boon to this unit.
Yeah, what it comes down to is if Chris Jones stays healthy, this group is fine because he elevates them so much. But if Chris Jones gets injured, knock on wood, I mean, this group is...
Worse than the NFL without Chris Jones.
You can make the case. I would have to go through the rosters of all the other 31 teams. I surprised I have not kept up on every single defensive tackle move of every single team. But yes, it would not be ideal. I do like this comment earlier from Marcelino, who says, we still have good cap space. We could sign a one-year deal to running back, then draft one higher next year in a better RB draft. That's also true, too. You know, they tried J.K. Dobbins, didn't work. There's a lot of running backs out there. If you want to get just a veteran, you can go out and get a veteran. That's why I wasn't too worried with that.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
Yeah, I don't think we can... You mentioned Mike Pinnell. I don't think we can expect playoff Warren Sapp every year. I mean, that really saved the Chiefs, I thought, in the Super Bowl. Him just playing out of his mind, bulldozing Trent Williams. Maybe one of the craziest, most unexpected things I've ever seen a Chief do. Number six. This one is probably going to get me in trouble, but I'm going to ask it anyways because we ask tough questions on this program. Did the Chiefs draft replacements for 2025 free agents Noah Gray, Trey Smith, and Justin Reed?
Yes. I almost want to say all three, and I don't like it. I'm not necessarily saying it's going to happen, but I think indications on the guard market, we'll start with Trey Smith, and this is the hardest one, Trey Smith. I think we all want Trey Smith here in Kansas City. If you saw the guard market and the explosion of money, I don't know how you can afford to keep Trey Smith because he is going to get paid, which good for him. Unless he's sitting here saying, you know what, I just love being here in Kansas City. I want to keep stacking rings. Sure, but you're probably going to see a five-year, $100 million contract out there, and the Chiefs will say, we can't match that.
I hate to butt in here, and I hate to, again, ask this question, but does his health situation impact his market at all? No. I hope not, for his sake.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think
he's had no indication in the NFL of that health issue. So I think at this point,
I agree.
If you're a team and that's how you don't sign Trey Smith, that's how you lose out on stud players. So I think he's getting paid. So I'd assume probably Norzad, which is why I love that Norzad pick so much. Justin Reed, I think, is probably the guy. I know you and I go back and forth with Justin Reed in particular, but I do think that draft pick of Jaden Hicks was the replacement because they play a very similar style in the box, very physical. I know they love three safety sets, but Justin Reed is going to be still, 30 when his contract's up, 29.
I think he'll 29.
He'll probably get another 3-year decent sized contract left from some team, right? That wouldn't surprise me. So I would assume that's the way the Chiefs go. Brian Cook, Chamari Connor, all those guys. And then the final one, Noah Gray. This was a little tougher for me because I don't think Noah Gray's market's going to be such. Maybe Noah Gray stays and it's Irv Smith who's just here on a 1-year deal, right? I don't know if that's the exact one for one, but I don't know that one. I think that was the hardest one.
I think Noah Gray is the hardest one because he's going to be relatively inexpensive compared to these other two. On one hand, he's capped out at about 30 receptions and 300 yards per season, which isn't setting the world on fire. On the other hand, he's durable. Patrick Mahomes trusts him. He plays hard. His hands are reliable. He knows the system, all these things. So I think the Chiefs wouldn't mind having him back, kind of like they just brought Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. A similar thing. With Justin Reed, you and I do go back and forth, but it's not even about that. The Chiefs just don't re-sign or bring back these aging veteran defensive backs. Legarius Sneed, Honey Badger, Treverius Ward, Juan Thornhill, Marcus Peters. This is just one of the ways that they pay for Patrick Mahomes. They keep the secondary cap, you know, the cap number for the secondary down. And they really have a competitive advantage when it comes to finding, drafting, and developing defensive backs. They do it better than anybody in the league. We have to mention Steve Spagnuolo here. We have to mention defensive back coach Dave Merritt here. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So Trey Smith's a really good player, a really, really good guard. You'd love to keep him. But if you're comparing him to Creed Humphrey, who I think potentially could be a Hall of Famer and is maybe the best young center in the National Football League, I think you have to keep Creed Humphrey. Especially with Trey possibly.
Center contracts are cheaper than guards.
Correct.
So it would be a little dirty, though, because Norzad has played center. So it would be a little dirty if they gave him a center contract and moved
him. Oh, that would be. Yeah, I don't think that would sit very well with Creed or probably the locker room at large. So I don't think they're going to do that. Let's just dive in, take a little tangent here and explore if we think Creed Humphrey will ever be moved to guard. The snaps were a little bit of a problem last year.
Here, Richard, you can hit because this is part of Creed Humphrey number 7. The question is Creed Humphrey definitely going to be resigned next offseason? So we'll start just with this question. If he's going to get moved to guard, no, I don't think so.
It's a good question. I happen to think he's going to be back because when you compare him to Mitch Morse and Rodney Hudson, who the Chiefs let go, there's a gap in talent between him and those two guys. Those guys are very good players, key starters on their teams. This is a first team all pro level talent. And if the Chiefs are looking for continuity and they're looking to keep Patrick Mahomes happy, just keeping their center on the roster long term and having him sort of be the linchpin of that offensive line, I think would be a good decision. And a lot of people say, well, center is the least important position on the offensive line. I don't think there's one way to skin a cat with an offensive line. And the Philadelphia Eagles have showed that, right? Didn't Jason Kelce and the Eagles show us that over a long duration of time?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's bullshit, man. It's a dude snapping the ball to your quarterback. It's the guy who a lot of times is calling out blitzes, who's out there getting a lot of times the rest of the O-line in the right spot, man. I get they haven't paid a lot of these guys, but I do agree. I think Creed Humphrey is on another level than Mitch Morse. As much as it pains me as a Mizzou alum to say that, I try to be unbiased with that. Creed Humphrey's on a different level there. Again, center is less expensive than guard as far as a lot of the contracts go. So, yeah, I think it's more palatable to bring back Creed than Trey Smith. Plus, you don't want that much restructuring going on in the offensive line, especially if you think Trey Smith's getting paid elsewhere. If you don't think Joe Tooney's coming back because of that contract, you're going to move and lose the entire interior offensive line. No chance. Like that wouldn't make any sense. That's too much change, in my opinion. Right. So I think Creed's the guy that you bring back. He's young. He's all pro. He's the best center in football. The snaps, while worrisome to a lot of folks, I know I was worried at one point last year, from all accounts, he'll be fine and be back. From all accounts in offensive linemen and former offensive linemen, folks I've talked to, they weren't super concerned.
Even when comparing him to Legarius Sneed or Tyreek Hill, if you're saying, well, they've let top three players at their position go before, well, Legarius Sneed was that for 1 year and had some knee issues. Tyreek Hill, there's a lot going on there with Tyreek Hill. That was also a gargantuan amount of money. And the Chiefs decided with Patrick Mahomes, it's more important to protect him than to give him elite targets. So I just think Creed's going to be here. Joe Tooney, there's really no way to get out of that contract next season.
It's not even bad, relatively. It's not even horrendous compared to the rest of the guard market now. And there's no
sign. He's the best pass blocking guard in the league. So
no sign of slowing down.
Well, he did tear his pec. So unless there's some huge drop off as a result of that injury, you want him here. I don't know that you want to extend him when he's getting well into his 30s, but I think you want that continuity. And I wonder if Brett Veach values the interior offensive line more than most teams would, because that's really the way to get to Patrick Mahomes, is that interior pressure. He is so great at detecting and evading that outside pass rush that I think they can get by with average tackles. I don't know. I think they want a pretty solid interior offensive line there.
That's a very good point. They have valued interior offensive line over tackle, which has been not really a trend in the NFL, but I guess maybe it's becoming one, because we all know Chiefs are the forefront. As again, we saw the guard market go up. Chiefs, once again, they started it.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
And one last point there that I think we have to make is
the
that
Boomtron, it said no.
I know, I'm not respecting it. The disrespect is off the charts. But in the post-Super Bowl 55 world, how Brett Veach and the Chiefs treat the offensive line is completely different before that moment. They have decided that that is never going to happen to Patrick Mahomes again for the extent of his career. I think that's wise. Number eight, this is going to be fun. The Chiefs brought in Carson Steele from UCLA as a UDFA, and he's been projected as a fullback. Is Andy Reid reinstalling that position, you think?
I'll let you talk for 3 minutes and 57 seconds because the answer is no.
Really? Really? I think maybe he missed Burton last year. And I know he loves sausage, but the problem with the fullback position is that little third and one, fourth and one give that he gave to the fullback, you know, that he was one of the reasons he had the fullback on the roster with Michael Burton, just completely stopped working. But I think Carson Steele is a little bit more like Juszczyk out in San Francisco. He's a little bit more versatile. He's got a little bit more juice than Burton and sausage. A hell of a character. I mean, this guy's looks like Thor, has a pet alligator that's named Crocky J. So I think fans are probably going to latch on to this happening. I mean, we all love a fullback, right? In theory, maybe not in practice, but the idea of this, you know, hard-nosed fullback grinding out the Tony Richardson. And it harkens back to T. Rich. I know you
sure,
like T.
Sure, if you
Rich.
Give me Tony Richardson, then yes. The issue is Tony Richardson was one of one. Okay, maybe one of two. Him and Mike Allstott. Sorry.
Lorenzo Neal, maybe. I mean, you can probably count on one or two hands how many fullbacks had been on that level in the history of the National Football League, right?
Correct. And that's why it's like, I get it, man. It's fun. We do love the fullback. I don't know why. I think it's because we're here in Kansas City and we witnessed Tony Richardson. So we're all looking like, oh yeah, hell yeah. And you know, Anthony Sherman was such a big personality and all that. It's fun. It's just, no, because who are you cutting? Who are you going to cut to make room for a fullback? What tight end? You can cut Irv Smith if you want. He's only got $384,000 guaranteed. So, okay, sure. I don't think so. I think the Chiefs want to have four tight ends. I think they're going to run a lot of 12 personnel this year. Then they're going to maybe have one, obviously, inactive on game day, but they'll have four tight ends. Dog, there's no room on the roster. I don't see this happening because I do think Noah Gray, as they've used him there before, can rock that. Irv Smith, decent blocker, could rock that. Jared Wiley probably could have rocked that. Mm-hmm. I do see angry, drunken German saying it's Kimball Anders. Yeah, I forgot. Forgot about Kimball Anders. Shout out to Kimball.
Ring of Honor member, Kimball Anders.
He's awesome. Good dude, too. Mm-hmm. I see fans saying, why can't we use a fullback like they do in San Francisco? Because we don't have a player like that. Kyle Juszczyk is so unique, right? There's one Kyle Juszczyk in the NFL right now.
I like this kid, though. I think he could be a third down back, and maybe slapping the fullback label exclusively on him is a bit reductive because he's a really good athlete. He's big. They could use him as a receiving back. I didn't love the limited like pass blocking reps I saw for him. So maybe that's a problem. But as we saw with Isaiah Pacheco from year one to year two, that is something, if the willingness is there, that can be learned. So I think they do need a number three back who has some pass blocking versatility and some pass catching versatility. He's got good hands.
I will say that's the only, if you count fullback and running back under the same umbrella here, just as a back, right? Well, then now things get interesting as far as roster construction, right? Because are you able to have, no, you probably still can't have four. It'd be three. Are you content rolling out with Isaiah, Clyde, and then this guy? That's the question I'm asking you, Bess, because you're Mr. Fullback and wanting him on the roster. Is that what you want?
I do like versatility. I do like having a guy back there that we don't know exactly what he's going to do. I like that. I need to see more from him to know, but I didn't see enough from Denaric Prince or LaMichael Perine. Who else did we pick up? Keontae Ingram. I'm not really sold on any of those guys, so I think he's got a chance.
Oh, I hope Keontae Ingram is the guy because I have him in Dynasty Fantasy Football, so I was a...
You've been really patient and loyal with that Keontae Ingram.
That's a dart throw right there.
Sometimes it works. I've been holding on to Rico Dowdle for a long time, and I'm thinking maybe this is the year. Number nine. This is a toughie. Who had the best draft? The Broncos, the Chargers, or the Raiders?
I want to say Chiefs, but since that's not on here, I guess I can't say that.
He's obviously won the AFC West draft.
I think it's the Chargers, and I think it's fairly easy. Although I understand all three's draft process in general, which you can't always say, right? The Broncos went after quarterback. While we all think it's early, I understand the thought process. You're drafting 12. It's the only quarterback left. They're going to, of course, say that's the guy they're going to target, right? You have no choice.
I don't know about that. I think him and Spencer Rattler are both third-round players. I don't know why... It just blows my mind that he goes 12 and Spencer Rattler goes in the fifth round. I just think
there's a lot of issues. Teams supposedly hated the documentary, and Spencer Rattler's kind of bent. Yeah.
He was a kid. He was 16 years old when he made that documentary.
I get it. But we understand that that's how the NFL works. They're going to still use that against you. They use anything. Mm-hmm. But I really thought Troy Franklin at that spot was good value. I loved Chris Abrams' drain with – if you guys remember Chris Harris, right? Obviously, it's kind of funny too because Chris Harris went to Kansas and this is a Mizzou guy. I think you're going to see a lot of the similar playing style, just physical dudes. Like, you're not going to want to go up against Chris Abrams' drain. He is a tough badass. I'm going to hate watching the Chiefs go up against him. So I was like, okay, as the draft went on, I liked more what the Broncos did. And again, I understand the Bo Nix pick, even if I don't like it. Chargers, they didn't bleep it up. They went Joe Alt. That was a smart move. You figured it out later. You know, J.C. Latham plays right tackle. Okay, fine. You draft the generational tackle, not the good right tackle. Draft the generational player. That's Joe Wall. You'll figure out where he's going to play a right tackle or Rashawn Slater later. Draft the guy. They didn't bleep it up. So congrats to the Chargers. And I thought Ladd McConkey at that spot was great value. It's going to be obnoxious watching him catch 9-10 catches a game from Justin Herbert against the Chiefs. I'm going to hate it. Okay, I like that one. And then, again, I love Brendan Rice in the seventh round. That value pick there was phenomenal. I wish the Chiefs would have drafted him in the sixth, but also that means you don't get Hayden. That was a tough one. I like Brendan Rice in the seventh. Raiders, I like the Brock Bowers pick. That was BPA. They went best player available. They didn't care that they drafted Michael Mayer last year. They said, we're going to draft BPA, and oh, by the way, it's Antonio Pierce. With that mindset, with who they have at quarterback, they're going to use their tight ends a ton. 12 personnel, here they come. They will be physical. And oh, by the way, Mayer and Brock Bowers are very versatile players. They can line up in the slot, outside, do whatever, a little bit of everything, right?
One's a Y, one's an F, you know?
I thought all three drafts by all those three teams were actually surprisingly solid.
I'm probably going to go to the Chargers, but I do have a gripe with what they did. I think they're going to look back and regret not taking Malik Nabers at five, because I don't think they're going to get another chance to pick a receiver like him ever. And they'll find, maybe they won't have a chance to pick another Joe Alt, but they could find something closer to Joe Alt at 34. And I just think that all respect due to Ladd McConkey, Malik Nabers, honestly, I think he's maybe as good as Marvin Harrison Jr. He's an unbelievable talent. In almost every single class, he would have been the wide receiver one. He just happened to come along the same year as Marvin Harrison Jr. did. So you maybe we'll look at what they could have done there, but they got two very good players. And I think it is nitpicking a little bit. I love the Cam Hart pick, the quarterback, yeah. I mean, the corner out of Notre Dame. I thought that was a steal at 140. I think I'm going to rank it. It's hard because you have to consider where they pick, but I think I'm going to go Chargers, Raiders. I loved a few things the Raiders did. Dylan Lobby, I already said that. And then I'm going to go Broncos. Kansas City. I'm going to go Broncos last just because the Bo Nix pick, there had to be another way there. I mean, this is just Sean Payton impatience and a massive reach.
I will say that it's wild watching all three teams have a competent pick. Interesting. Or a competent
draft. Yeah, there's an argument that Troy Franklin was the best value of the entire draft. There's a decent argument for that. So number 10 here, let's finish up. Excluding Worthy, which KC rookie will play the most snaps this year?
Oh, great question. To me, it's between two guys. It's between Jaden Hicks and Kamal Hayden. I think Hayden's a very intriguing one. 6'1". It's hilarious because 6th round from Tennessee, injury concerns, Trey Smith. Okay, 6th round cornerback, late round cornerback. Big bodied, Legarius Sneed. It's just like, this is what the Chiefs do. Like, he's going to be an all pro snub guaranteed because he was drafted this late. I'll go Hicks because I think they're going to run so many three safety sets. We'll see how Brian Cook bounces back from injury. It's intriguing because where do they see Chamari Connor if he's going to be a slot corner and Trent, or almost like in the slot while Trent McDuffie moves to the outside? But I would say one of those two. Players either going to be Hicks or Hayden.
I think Hicks probably needs an injury to get in there, but we saw that last year. Like Chamari Connor, I think he's ready to go. He's got the experience, he's got the intelligence. I don't think he was going to get rattled by the pro game. Similar to Hunter Norzad, I believe that if there's an injury, he's going to be ready to go. And the fascinating thing about him is he's played tackle in college, he's played center, and he's played guard. He also is an off-the-charts brainiac. He has an Ivy League engineering degree that he got prior to Penn State. He was in college for a while. I think that's maybe COVID-related, something like that. But regardless, he got that degree very fast. And Kamal Hayden was so obvious that I think 10 picks before that, 12 picks before that, I threw out three guys. I'm like, I feel like they're going to pick one of these guys. And the cornerback was Kamal Hayden because he just is – so Spagsy that it was sort of undeniable. He loves those 6'1 feisty press corners. And
his coverage last year at Tennessee, you look at some of the analytics and you're like, how the hell was this guy a 6th rounder? I get the hips and all that stuff for cornerbacks, so important, and the fluidity. But dude, that size coupled with the actual production he put up, you're sitting here going, and again, the injury. The injury was a big concern for a lot of teams. But you're sitting here going,
shoulder injury? Is that what we're talking about?
Injury. Yeah. But you're sitting here going, 6th round? Like, no one wanted to take a chance on this guy early. It's SEC. He did it at Tennessee. We're not talking about. I was shocked by that, man. The most Spags thing ever.
I would commonly mock him in the 5th round. It was a 5th round corner to me, and he went way later. He had no business going in the 200s. I think Jared Wiley has a chance to get on the field if they're going to go more 13. I know he's not a great blocker, but he's willing and somewhat capable there. I think I'm going to go with Kingsley Suamataia here. I just think
that's a smart one. If you think he's starting week one over Wanya Moore,
I don't think he's starting week one, but I think probably at some point he's going to take over. and lock down that job. I really believe in Andy Heck's ability to get him in the building, kind of tear him down a little bit and rebuild that technique. And if you put solid technique on top of those tools, this is a guy that was on not only on Bruce Feldman's freaks list, he was third on that list. And I actually tweeted about it, and Bruce Feldman followed up and he's like, I love this pick. He has a chance to be a great, great player in Kansas City. So for somebody that's so like tapped into who the best athletes in college are and who has the most potential, that's a ringing endorsement from someone who knows what they're talking about. So I was really pleased to see that. I'm going to go with Kingsley. Your official pick was Haddon. Was Haddon?
Yeah, I'll go Haddon. That was the latest, like, it's in time's up, and I'm just sitting here like, come on.
I know. Come and I started, I'm like, if it's not going to go, I'm just going to say something. And then, it came. So, yeah, I think we asked some tough questions today, but overall, I feel great about this draft, especially when you consider that they're picking later than everybody else. So yeah. When you look up and you see that they reaped more value than almost every other team, you know, Veach just doesn't reach anymore. I think he's just learned over the years to let the draft come to you. And I think that has really paid off for him.
He's gotten better and better and better. And that's all you can ask for from a GM, because that means hopefully it's not luck. And that means that he actually has identified something that has made him a better GM. He's learned from his mistakes. Again, I was upset with Xavier Worthy initially. Again, the more I've taking a deep dive, the more intrigued I've been. I will also point out, just because you're small doesn't mean you're getting injured. Bo Jackson, the biggest freak of nature of all time, he obviously got injured. It's football. Injuries happen. So if you're not going to draft a guy because of injury concerns like that, you're going to miss out on some damn good players. I think he's a great fit. Again,
he was durable too. I mean, you have to pay attention to that.
Games, baby. 12, 13, 14 games. Again, I think the fit's there. I think the fact that this allows Rashee Rice to stay in the slot, which – again, where he thrived last year, it should open up the field for Travis Kelce. No more MVS, McCole Hardman deep balls where guys can't track the rock. Now they have Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. Offensively, you're going to see more of an explosion, in my opinion. Again, Mahomes was ranked 38th in the NFL, I believe, in passer rating on 20-plus yards last year. Brutal. Atrocious. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it was all his fault. I'm saying a lot of that was the receiver's fault. That is not going to be the case this year. If you look around at 31 other teams right now, they have to be saying, holy bleep, we messed up. The fact we could not take Mahomes down and the Chiefs down when they had those type of struggles, that was our year, guys. No longer. The Chiefs are about to win, and they're about to dominate.
And I love that the Chiefs doubled down to fix this problem. They weren't content with Hollywood Brown, who has – let's be frank here, has some injury concerns, has with the lower body, with the feet.
You be Frank, I'll be Adam.
Well, we can do that swap today. But I think it was smart to say, we're not just going to rely on Hollywood Brown to fix this problem. We're going to go out and get another guy. And look at what they're doing in Miami. You can use two of these smaller, fast guys in complementary fashion to terrorize defenses and kind of have gravity that opens things up for Isaiah Pacheco and the running game. And I think that's the under-discussed element here. Look at what Raheem Mostert was doing. And I mean, Devon Achane is kind of, you know, sort of a rare player. But Isaiah Pacheco has elite speed like those guys. Maybe not quite as fast, but he is one of the faster running backs you'll find. And if you open up things for him, he's going to rip off more long runs. And I think as his vision continues to improve, we're going to see better performance from number 10.
This was fun, man. I like doing this with you today, Best. This was enjoyable. I like the 10 countdown. I always appreciate Richard behind the scenes doing the Bubotron, making sure we stay on time.
Yeah, and we wanted to do the Mitch touchdown Kansas City, but he's the one that came up with the 808 and kind of has run this the entire time and made it a staple of our show. So we always appreciate Richard making us look good. But that's the show. It's officially closing time. Props to our chat and members. We definitely appreciate you guys. Subscribe to the AA podcast anywhere you can find podcasts, and also here on our YouTube channel. That way you never miss a show. Join us next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central. Again, that's our new time, trying to hit the after work, after school crowd. And that's here on the Arrowhead Addict channel. Until then, go Chiefs.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.